Hi friends, I am your host Jade, and welcome back to Criminal Curiosity, the true crime podcast that dives into bizarre and fascinating cases. Together we talk about everything in the true crime world, whether you've heard of them or not. So buckle up and get ready to feed your curiosity with Criminal Curiosity. This week we are talking about the mysterious death of a chemist named Geetha Ngara, who was found dead in a water tank at work. So let's get started. Geetha was born in Chennai, India on July 15, 1961. With 11.7 million residents, Chennai is India's sixth most populous city. Geetha attended Loyola College in Chennai, where she earned her bachelor's and master's degree in chemistry. She was also the first woman in the school's history to reach such an achievement. In 1984, she moved to the United States and furthered her education. She got her master's and doctorate in organic chemistry from New York University. Geetha was married to banker Jaya, and the two of them moved to Clifton, New Jersey, where they raised their three children. She started working at the Passaic Valley Water Commission in 1992, which is a public utility that provides 83 million gallons of water daily to 800,000 customers, making sure that they have clean running water in Passaic, Paterson, and 14 other towns in New Jersey. 7 years later, the family moved to Holmdel, about 48 miles from Clifton, where they previously lived. Geetha had now been working for the Passaic Valley Water Commission for 12 years when she was promoted to senior chemist. At this point, her responsibilities were to ensure that the plant's water continued to meet the Environmental Protection Agency regulations. Geetha's promotion caused some conflict at her work, and some of the employees didn't like her for it. She discussed these issues with her husband, saying that she wasn't content at work and the atmosphere wasn't the same. Geetha was now in a position where she had a voice and she could use it, and she was able to influence things. The plant formerly treated the water with chlorine. However, once Geetha was promoted, the plant switched to an ozone disinfection system. An unidentified pink substance was discovered in one of the water tanks, and at one point another employee accused Geetha of being the cause. And Geetha had absolutely nothing to do with it, and yet they still placed the blame on her. One employee described Geetha saying, quote, "She was one of the sweetest people you could hope to meet," end quote. Another said that after Geetha was promoted, a lot of people became jealous. They said, quote, "A lot of people didn't like her because she had a doctorate. There was also some racial prejudice. 98% of the plant is white, and not all of them like seeing immigrants do well," end quote. At 7:30 a.m. on February 8, 2005, Geetha arrived at work. Her coworker reported that she was laughing and smiling, just the usual stuff. Nothing seemed odd or out of place. She took her coffee break at around 10 in the morning. She was informed by a worker that the clarity sensors and the plant filters needed to be calibrated. So Geetha went to another building with a two-way radio, a clipboard, and a beaker. She left her sandwich on her desk, showing that she was returning, and about 20 minutes later, the coworker who had told her about what she needed to do walked into the basement and discovered a broken beaker on the floor. At around 11 a.m., her colleagues began asking if anyone had seen Geetha. The disappearance of Geetha went unnoticed until the end of the day. That evening, Geetha was supposed to pick up one of her daughters from basketball practice that night, but when she didn't and all her phone calls went unanswered, her family became worried. A guard discovered her car was still in the parking lot at approximately 9:20 p.m. Her coat, along with the sandwich and the purse, were all still inside. That evening, her co-workers returned to work and started looking for Geetha at the plant until 11:20 p.m., when they called the police and reported her missing 13 hours after she was last seen. On February 9th at around 2 a.m., to start draining the tanks, the plant was shut down. they discover her radio and clipboard in one of the tanks. They continue draining the rest of the tanks out, and at 6:30 p.m., Geetha Ingar's body was found in a water tank. Her body was taken to the Passaic County Coroner's Office for an autopsy. The medical examiner stated that she was alive when she went into the water, and her cause of death was drowning. There were also a number of bruises on her neck, which suggested to the medical examiner that someone had attempted to strangle her. In addition, they also found more injuries on her elbows and waist. The investigating detectives theorized that Geetha was attacked and rendered unconscious in the basement, that someone then took out the access panels, disposed of her body in the water tanks, and then put the panels back in place. Geetha was unable to escape the tank since there was a 5-foot space between the water and the panel, and there was no light or ladder inside. The tank had a sensor that would set off an alarm if it detected displacement in the water. And I'm not an expert when it comes to water, but to my best understanding, what I gathered from the internet is that when you have a glass of water and you put something in the water rises. And when you take that object out of the water goes back to the same level when there was nothing in the water. So they had sensors in those tanks for those reasons, just in case something fell into the water. Because Geetha's body was in the tank, the water levels would have moved and the water displacement sensors would have gone off. But it just so happens that the sensors weren't working. Within the tank, the temperature was 30 degrees Fahrenheit, or 2 degrees Celsius. Due to the high concentration of chlorine in the tank, it wasn't possible to recover any physical evidence, including fingerprints or DNA. The broken beaker that Geetha was seen with had been cleaned up by the co-workers before the police had even arrived, and the crime scene was tainted when all the co-workers returned to work to look for Geetha. The plant was surrounded by a fence and security cameras, and all the co-workers checked in with the security guard at the gate before they came to work every single morning. There were security records for the employees, and there were a total of 85 employees. 50 of them were working the day that Geetha died. That meant that they had 50 suspects to look into. Since there was no security cameras or locations requiring a key card to access the basement, it was difficult to figure out the whereabouts of every employee during the workday. The autopsy also showed no sign of a sexual assault. Police discovered that some people despised Geetha due to her promotion and the fact that she was an Indian woman. Geetha was described by those who loved working with her as being an upbeat woman. She was committed to her work. She treated everyone equally. She was a humble woman. And she preferred people to call her by her first name rather than doctor. Police also investigated the possibility that she was not in charge of hiring and firing people, so it couldn't have been one of those people to kill her because she wasn't in charge of it. Investigators thought that she might have been involved in an argument or that she saw something that she wasn't supposed to see, leading them to believe that her murder was not planned. When they looked into the physicality of the crime, Geetha was 5'5" and 175 pounds. When she was thrown into the tank, police believed that it was a man. Of course, it could have been a woman that was in top shape, but they believed that it was a man. Detectives spent 4,000 hours interviewing every plant employee and got DNA samples from the ones that worked the day Geetha died. As time passed, everyone went back to work, and everyone worked in pairs, so that everyone was accounted for and made sure that everyone was safe. Tensions were also pretty high in the plant because one of these people could have been a potential killer. The police narrowed their list of suspects from 50 to 8 men. Assistant prosecutor John Latoraca told the New York Times, quote, Either there is some very powerful motive out there that someone has kept completely to themselves, or it may suggest this wasn't a planned killing, end quote. After a year, authorities reduced the number of suspects from 8 to 3. Chief Homicide Detective James Wood told the New York Post that he believed he was one of the suspects were going to confess, but then refused to speak to police. He also states that none of them had solid alibis, and that they all had access to the same place that Geetha was. All three suspects were asked to take a polygraph test. One passed, another was inconclusive, and the third refused to take one. Divers were sent to look into the tanks to see if they missed anything, but nothing came up. By the middle of 2006, there were no new leads, or any leads for that sake, and the case went cold. The Angara family asked the police to review the case again in 2007, but nothing new came from it. Investigators contacted Derek Pounder, a Scottish forensic pathologist with expertise in drownings from the University of Dundee. According to Pounder, the cold water caused identical bruises in some drowning victims. So basically what he's saying is that when Geetha entered the tank and her head was above the water, the cold water would have led to hemorrhaging at the neckline. And five pathologists disagreed with this theory. They just all believed that it was a homicide. James Wood, the lead homicide detective, retired in 2006 after 18 months of investigation. He thought that Geetha's death was an accident brought on by negligence rather than an intentional murder 3 years after she passed away. He claims that Geetha entered the room, a plate covering the tank was taken off, and it's possible that someone neglected to replace the plate and Geetha fell in because she didn't see it. Following Geetha's passing, the facility increased security by placing armed guards and the judge ordered a mediation. Geetha's daughter said in 2015 that her mother was an extremely cautious woman and it seemed pretty doubtful that she would have missed a large dark hole in the floor. Workers at the plant said that they have never seen any of the panels left open and she adds, quote, "I think you would have to ignore a lot of the facts to believe it was an accident," end quote. In 2015, the Passaic County Prosecutor's Office announced that the three men originally considered to be potential suspects were no longer believed to be responsible for Geetha's death. So the investigation remains cold and there are no answers. End of episode thoughts. I don't think that she accidentally drowned. I mean, the second that she got promoted to a senior position, there was a lot of jealousy, animosity, and racism towards her. So it wasn't like everyone was happy for her. It also had me wondering about who was promoted to her spot after her death. And not to sound like that person, but could they have done something to her? I don't know. I also don't understand the accidental drowning theory because they believe that someone left the panel off and didn't put it back, but when Geetha fell in the tank, the panel was then put back on. So did they put it back on knowing that she fell in or not? I don't know. And I also don't understand the theory of the cold water and the bruising. I don't know. I'm not a cold water. I'm not a pathologist. I'm none of those things. And with that, today's story comes to an end. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Remember, every Thursday there is a new episode. You can keep up with me and the podcast at Instagram at Criminal Curiosity Pod. That is all that I have for you today. Please be safe out there. Look out for one another. Until next time, bye everyone.